Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Irish Country Living Podcast. Hi folks, welcome back to the Irish Country Living Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Dunhu. Many of you will be aware, some of you may not be aware, that this week is Farm Safety Week. It's an annual event and it's so important. I suppose from my own point of view, you'd always try to be thinking of ways how you can connect with people with regard to farm safety and I suppose get those messages across. I always think that farmers resonate with other farmers. And so with that in mind, I've got my good friend and colleague, Tommy Moyles, on. He's a beef farmer from West Cork. Tommy works with us in the Farmers Journal. He covers news, marts, and is also a farmer writer. Tommy and I discussed all about farm safety, I suppose, both how he thinks, you know, his farmer peers perceive farm safety, how people are more aware of the topic now, and also his own experience on his own farm. Normally Tommy and I would be skitting laughing whenever we're chatting, but this is definitely a much more serious tone to this conversation, which is only right to the topic that it is. So I hope you enjoy. Hello West Cork, West Limerick calling.
Greetings West Limerick.
We're like the Eurovision here. I'm joined by my friend and colleague Tommy Moyles. Tommy, how are you keeping?
I'm not too bad, enjoying how's the sunshine.
Yes, how's the heat wave treating you?
Well, we've had coastal mist the last two mornings, so that's knocked a few hours off the bad heat, but that's fine. You know, we were crying out for it back in May when it was freezing cold, so we'll enjoy it while it's here.
And speaking about the coast, Tommy, for anybody who doesn't know you, Tommy writes news for the Farmers Journal, he covers marts, and he's also a farmer writer. But tell people a small bit, I suppose, about your farm, where you are. You touched on it there at the coast. You're looking into the Atlantic and you're farming, Tommy.
Yeah, look out left there about 300 or 400 meters, I'm in the water. We're kind of on the cliff tops there, southwest of Clonakilty. So yeah, we've a beef running suckler to beef farm and owned and rented ground either side of the West Cork town of Clonakilty. So that keeps me on my toes for a certain part of the year, but definitely not at the moment. You know, it's July is a nice, easy going time. July and August usually on the farm. So we try and enjoy it and kick back a small bit at this time.
Well, you have to enjoy it while you can anyway, that's for sure.
Oh, you do, definitely.
And I suppose, Tommy, me and you love shooting the breeze whenever we're talking to each other, but we're here for a very specific reason now this morning. It is Farm Safety Week.
So focus.
Yes, focus. No tangents, nothing like that. But yeah, we have a lot of crack all the time, but I suppose quite a serious topic this morning. But there's a lot of people talk about Farm Safety Week, you know, but I think farmers' perspective is probably the most important one. Farmers resonate with other farmers. So that's why we're getting you on here today. I suppose just to start, Tommy, from your own sphere, your own circle of kind of farmers and who you'd be around, do you think farmers are more conscious of farm safety now than a number of years ago?
Oh, definitely. I suppose, look, it's in our face. You know, anywhere you look online, farm safety comes into it. You hear on radio, television now. Unfortunately, that's driven by the level of accidents and fatalities. It's improved a bit, but it seems to always constantly float kind of between 20 and 30 fatalities a year, which is, it's too much. I suppose the nature of the family farming system in Ireland plays a part in that. When, like, you don't go into a building site and see many kids under 10 or old people all over 65 there. So I suppose that distorts the figures, and they're busier places. And you're more involved as well. If there's part-time farming, you might have the older generation have to put the shoulder to the wheel a bit more than usual. So that poses enough risks, and then you throw on the machinery and the horsepower aspect. I mean, there's an awful lot more horsepower per parish than there was 70, 80 years ago or even less, you know. So again, that's something that we have to factor in, and also time availability. Everyone seems to be in a rush, and you nearly find the people that aren't they've probably had a bad experience with farm safety, and that tends to ground people a small bit. You know, I suppose we all think we're invincible until it's too late, or just, you know, you break a finger or break up a rib or something, and it grounds you all of a sudden. There's a lot of stress on the back of that then, especially at the busier times of year. So I suppose just getting that self-awareness and maybe self-confidence to kind of go, okay, do I really need to do this job today? Do I have to do it at 100 miles an hour? No. So I think that there's some of the factors that come into it. Bigger picture stuff, I suppose the farm income does come into it. People might say it's not an issue, but look, people have to go part-time farming because there's not enough income on the farm, and that leads to some of the issues I mentioned already about time constraints and putting extra pressure on. So that, yeah, it's a challenging environment to work in that regard, but we're much more aware of it compared to, I suppose, certainly when I would have been coming out of ag college 15-20 years ago, it wasn't as big a deal. Maybe social media's driven that too. That's a constant in our lives now that wasn't there then.
But as you said, it really is a multifactorial issue. There's so many different things coming into play, as you said, from the nature of family farms to time, finance. There's a, you know, it's not just a one issue that is kind of creating a farm safety problem.
No, there's loads, and like you can manage big numbers on a farm, and you can have everything planned to a T, but you're dealing with nature. You can have a storm come in and mess things up. You can have too much rain or too little rain. Like, you know, if one calf goes wrong at calving, and you're so fine tuned that you have how many minutes to do this job per day, that totally scuppers your day and your plan, and it puts pressure on everything. Like, I sometimes wonder, guys that are kind of at the 100, 120 cows, that's fine when everything's going right, but it's, I suppose, maybe it's our nature to be optimistic, but you kind of have to plan for, you have to do small bit of negative planning. I wouldn't live my life and that way, but you have to factor in the what if. It will always be there, and if you don't factor it in, it'll bite you in the backside faster than you'll ever know.
And on your own farm there, Tommy, did you ever have any incident or near incident that kind of, I suppose, resonated with you with regard to farm safety?
Yeah, I've had a few. The hurling field and being bad on it meant two broken fingers, so but I kind of plugged the head with those. But when I was younger, I suppose, well, Dad still has a pig farm, and I remember one day just moving sows, and one sow just deciding she wasn't going to go where I wanted, and I hadn't realised that there was another one behind me, so I was run over and hit my head on the concrete floor and knocked out.
Fully knocked out, Tommy.
I just remember the sow running at me, and the next thing I was woke up in the office. Woke up in the office, and the two dogs licking me.
they were looking after you anyway.
They were, and they were back at it again a few months. It was probably a month later. Yeah, I got knocked out about twice within a month. Again, one of Dad's hobbies, he was into Camaro ponies and stuff, and just warm dosing foal, whatever way I caught her in the stable, she reared up and bang, knocked my head on the wall. So yeah, they were the small bits, but I suppose the worst one I had, and I was attacked by a cow with calving. I completed the ag science course in CIT in Clonakilty Ag College, and I remember in final year, I was living at home, but the shed and the farm where I live now, it's about 10 miles from home. So I used to get up in the middle of the night and check the cows calving, or go and check the farm before going to college. So I was in the Ag College in Clan one day, and I decided at lunchtime to run out. I knew there was one cow going to calf, and I had her bedded down and ready to go. And there was another cow next to her, kind of brought in as a companion one. So got out to the farm, and the cow I expected to calf, and so had the other one. But I hadn't heard bedded down earlier, so I said, right, I better go and put eye down in the calf's navel. Now our calving pins, they were an old dairy stall, but they still are, so there was plenty of escapes. And yeah, the cow shook her head at me, and I gave her a stick in hand, as I always did at the time. And yeah, she just blew me straight past the escape points. And within seconds, I was on the floor in a cow's head, grinding her head into my chest on the floor. Yeah, that was, I don't know how long it lasted, but it felt like an eternity. It was probably seconds, but yeah, she dragged me down the length of the pin. It's about, 11 or 12 foot long. It was about 11 or 12 foot long along the gate that she was on. I managed to put my arms in the gate and she started running into my back. And when I was getting up closer to the top of the gate, after I dragged myself up, she was grinding the back of my knees into the gate. And she flung me up into the air then. So I don't know what kind of angle I was at to the gate, but I was in midair anyway, and my arms were full stretch trying to hold on. And I eventually flapped down against the gate and I managed to scramble over to the other side. So the cow in the next pen had a bit of a panic then. So I just managed to scramble out through the barriers on the other side, but the cow that attacked me, she was still gunning for me through the barriers. And I was unbelievably lucky. On a lot of fronts, like the worst damage, I'd strain muscles in my ribs. Now, I was the kind of person at the time, unless something was badly wrong, I wasn't going to go to a doctor. So I think it was about 2, maybe 3 days later, because I just couldn't sleep properly. And there was issues with my ribs. They weren't broken, but the muscles and cartilage were out of place. It's probably one of the challenges on a lot of farms like that is you have to pick yourself and go back in after that attack. You know, like I was out there that evening having to feed that cow, and it took her a strong 24 hours to settle down anytime she saw me. So, that was the worst one.
Did that incident change how you viewed what you did on the farm and with regard to farm safety and things like that, Tommy?
Short term, some of it. It took us a bit longer to cop on to other bits in terms of the breeding, the docility. I suppose at the time we were doing sucklers, selling the weaning, so you're focused on a certain type of animal. It took us a while to move away from that because you're kind of, You forget about the attack. It's one cow out of probably about 40, 45 cows at the time, maybe. It was just one. And that cow in question stayed for a number of years after. There was a few others from her family as well. I just remember,
Were you wary of them then, always? Were you wary of her and any of her progeny kind of after that?
No, you'd always keep an eye out. But you'd spot little things like there was kind of family traits came in the cows. Like there were certain lines where they were just we stopped retaining them for as replacements. But that took, like, the stupid thing is, and we were so into the they have quality calves, they're the type of calves we need.
Yeah.
That we didn't put the safety element into it. So that's something that's one of the things that I know Dad
and is docility important? Is docility over breeding? Do you know what I mean? Good genetics, bigger calves.
No question. You can have the greatest calf in the place, but if you're in a coffin, what use is it? You know, I wouldn't cover the cost of a coffin. You know.
Yeah.
I've always enjoyed working with cattle since I was knee high.
Well, after the sows and the foals, I'd say I wouldn't blame you going towards the cattle.
Yeah, you deal with them like they were lesser incidents. But it was funny, I'm always more wary of horses, despite them never having the same bad experiences that I've had with cattle. I think that's a huge place where farms can help themselves, is just knock out the baddies, we'll say. We still see it, like, I know my colour group at the moment, there's two or three there because they'd be kind of watching Dad the whole time. And like there's one or two of them, they're very young, but they were at the rented ground near him last year, and they just, I was just able to see how they kind of follow him around as he was moving stuff, and you're kind of going, no, we don't want to, or ones that are kind of nervous around the crush area. So almost from when a calf is born, you're kind of watching the heifer calf as to what her temperament is like, and just the easiest thing is not to leave them through. It reduces the workload to something else.
Yeah.
As well, so.
And I suppose outside of breeding, is there anything else you did on the farm?
What we did relatively soon after is we, on some of the calving pens, we put in a gate that if you ever need to stall a coat, that you could bring it around at the same time. That was about it, and
yeah,
it was all we needed to do. I think the facility was the big one, and just having the facilities, like, they don't have to be, you don't have to spend millions or anything, but just basic things, like, just don't give cows options, like, we use stock board going to the crush, because the cows move on light. Avoid, yeah, just avoid giving them easy options to escape, and also, it might sound really silly, but you kind of have to play small bit of psychological things with them, like, try and reduce the amount of bad experiences if they are coming into the yard. It's really funny. It's probably different in a dairy context, because they're in twice a day, every day. But with beef cattle especially, you kind of, you know, it's funny, there was one bull we used 2 years ago, and I've 8 or 9 of his heifers that should be gone for breeding, but they're tapped. But by our standards, now they're tapped. And I've actually found myself having to give them a small bit of ration at the moment just to get them into the yard, and I haven't done that in a long time. But it's like I said it to Dad, it's like, just whatever it is about this bunch, this is like rolling the clock back to 2002 or something. They're just a bad bunch.
And it's cold. It's ruthless.
Oh, they're gone. Yeah. Like, and by bad, no, it's not like they'd go for you. It's just that if you open the gate, they'll go in the other direction almost every time.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, again, that comes back to it creates stress. It creates extra work that doesn't need to be there.
And day to day on the farm, Tommy, we were kind of touching on it at the start as well, with regard to farm safety. You know, you can have all the reminders and stuff you want, but is, I suppose, managing your workload and, I suppose, taking your time a bit more, is that kind of the key to safety day to day?
Oh, big time.
Like, even your incident, it was during calving, and that's a time where it's really, you know, it's going to be 110% all the time.
Yeah. It's eased off on the back of our calving decision, our breeding decisions. I mean, we try and avoid having difficult calving, so I love it when you either switch on the calving camera, or you walk into the shed and there's a new calf up sucking a cow. That's brilliant. I think we had about, I said it was less than, I'm doing very quick maths and no end. I'd say it was about 15% needed. 15% or so needed to be needed any form of assistance this year calving. It was our easiest calving year that we've ever had. It was a doddle that way. But I suppose one of the big things on the farm is recognizing what you're not good at. Like, I love working with animals, love all that side of it, but machines, no, it's not me, it's not my strength. I think there's one PTO on the farm, that's where the fertilizer spreader, but my contractor's excellent, and that's his area of expertise. And you hire in what people are good at rather than trying to do it yourself. You know, the job that you might have to do 2 or 3 times a year versus the job you have to do every day yourself, you're obviously going to be better at one than the other. And recognizing that, so that's something to watch.
That's a really good point, to be fair, just to, you know, hands up, this is not my area, and it's when you can get someone in, why not?
Yeah, like, I know the basics, but not beyond that. If when something goes wrong, you're on the back foot, you know. Whereas the lads are doing it every day, and they could have something fixed in the time I'd be trying to find out what's wrong, you know.
Yeah, and it saves the mess and the frustration, and you're not trialing it when you're getting into the area of trying to fix things and stuff. You're in a really grey area there, machines, aren't you? You're really kind of, you know.
You are. I remember I had it, about 3 or 4 years ago, I think the tractor got airlocked. It got airlocked out the field in the middle of calving, and I was busy off farm as well at the time. And just the level of stress that was there and you're kind of going, if you had to face it every day, it wouldn't be worth it.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, time management, start off with time management and what your strengths and weaknesses are and what your facilities can do. No matter, gee, if you've 2 crows or 200 crows, you know, you enjoy your time, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Tommy, I think that's kind of the most of it there. We managed to stay on track anyway, and we didn't go off on any tangent, thankfully. And enjoy the rest of the heatwave.
Oh, we'll try anyway.
The Irish Country Living Podcast.